Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If you're a fan of the Dolphins and love Napa Valley wines, I have something special for you. I'm here to introduce Unmatched Napa Valley, a brand that's not just about wine, but about celebrating the spirit of Miami and the legendary success of our Dolphins. Unmatched Napa Valley brings the essence of Miami's vibrant culture, history, and diversity into each bottle of premium, limited production, handcrafted wine. Currently, Unmatched Napa Valley has a collection of 9 labels with different varietals, including Sparkling Brut, Chardonnay, and Cabernet Sauvignon. And here's how you can savor the experience at home or send as a gift to your favorite Dolphins fan. You can order these wines online at unmatchednapa.com. Additionally, with every purchase, you're supporting Dolphins Challenge Cancer, making a positive impact in our community. Join us in celebrating the unmatched spirit of Miami and the Dolphins at unmatchednapa.com and use Fish Tank 10 for a one-time use of 10% off the bottle shop. Cheers, Miami.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that Fish Tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Woo. Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that Fish Tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt and the only podcaster to bowl a perfect game and lead the NFL in receptions, OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we feeling, man?
Is that verified, Big Seth?
It's right until someone tells me I'm wrong. Right. I mean, there a lot of guys have led the league in receptions. I can't imagine any of them other than you has bowled a perfect game.
Well, I hope that's correct. At least I have some spot in history that, you know, people might not find out about it, but I'll take it, Big Seth, for sure.
If they listen to this show, Juice, they will find out about it. You just got to carve your niche, man, and that's what we've done. Speaking of carving a niche, I'm fired up for this, Juice, because we've heard this guy's name come up time and time again, yeah. And we certainly cheered for him when he played for the Miami Dolphins, and now he's a coach, and there's just so much to talk about, but Patrick Cobbs takes a break from the recruiting trail to dive into the Fish Tank. Patrick, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great, man. I appreciate y'all having me on, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I love that, Big Seth. You know, and you know what you talk about. We've got a ton to talk about, Patrick. I'm sorry, bro. But
before we had this whole debate with Mahomes. Yeah, or Patrick Mahomes.
I get stuck with that now. how do you prefer all that? You don't mind as much, Pat?
I can tell where I am or when I met them in my life if they call me Patrick or Pat. So it's good either way.
That's what's what up.
In the Fish Tank, how should we be referring to you?
However you want to, man.
All just, right, cool.
My wife calls me every name, so it's all good.
They're all good, though, I'm sure. I'm sure they're all good. Good words.
I love it.
You know, before we, you know, get into a lot of stuff we want to talk about, and we're going to dive a little deeper in a little bit, but I believe, Big Seth, we have a few things to celebrate today.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, happy birthday.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I was literally getting a phone call when you said that. My phone's ringing from people. So it's all good, man. I appreciate that, man. 41 years young, bruh.
That's why I call you kid. It flies by.
You
know, Big Seth, I think this is the first time on the Fish Tank, you know, interviewing a guy on their actual birthday, man.
So on the birthday, yeah. I don't know that that's happened before.
Hey, here we are. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm on the short list. I appreciate that.
But you know what, Big Seth? That's not all, though. Last month, we're going to celebrate this, too. You were voted as the American Athletic Conference Running Backs Coach of the Year for your work with your alma mater, you know, of course, the North Texas Mean Green. So congratulations on that, too, my man.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Coaching's fun, man. I have a blast doing it. And, yeah, man, it's good to pour into these young men.
Yeah, so what did it mean for you, man, to receive that honor? That's a hell of an honor. It's got me.
Man, you know, it's impressive. you don't think about it. You just coach your tail off, and then next thing you look up, you know how it is. You look up, you got an award, and you're grateful for it. But there's other goals and things that you want to do, so you just got to keep marching, man.
I love that. Yeah. Juice, obviously we always do our due diligence. I reached out to a few people. Couldn't reach anybody last night, but then and it's funny you just mentioned Lusaka Polite, Pat. So as I was driving into the office getting ready for this thing, he got back to me and he said, you know, it's great that Patrick is a coach now because he liked to clown a little bit in the meetings. He said back in the day, he had a good time in the meetings. He said, but your football IQ was so high. It was like through the roof. And that's kind of the ultimate compliment. We see from afar, we see the guys who are fast or shifty or play bigger than their size and all of those things. Like, we could see those measurables. But I don't know about your football IQ, right? Because I'm not sitting next to you in the meeting. Talk about how that has helped translate into you being this coach of the year.
Man, like you said, I'm not the biggest, probably not the fastest, all those things. So you got to find some kind of a niche, right, to stay in that great game and this competitive league. But diving in the ball, man, it was fun for me. I love being in it. I love, you know, just people's ideas and perspective and being in a room with Lusaka and Rick and Ronnie and the whole gang, man. It was fun to be around. And Coach Saxon did a heck of a job of teaching us ball. And I loved every bit of it, man. Just the diving in part. And then obviously translating that over to the coaching world. Man, I was fortunate enough to be coached by some of the greatest coaches, man. I started as a rookie with Bill Belichick. And then I was here with Saban when he was here. Then, you know, short stint with Cam. But then, you know, Parcells and Sperano. And then finishing up with Sean Payton. I mean, I was blessed to be around some good ball coaches. And my position coach when I was at North Texas was Freddie Kitchens, who ended up being an NFL head coach. So I had I had great coaches all the way around me, you know, Daryl Dickey. And so I was fortunate to be around great coaches, to learn a lot of good ball. And it was an easy transition for me to start coaching.
Now, Pat, you say it's an easy transition, but I have to you talk about some of those coaches. Those are some old school coaches right there. How does you from this old school way of coaching and learning translate to this new school kids that we're dealing with in today's world?
Well, one, the biggest thing that I learned from all those guys is you got to be consistent. And the only way you can be consistent is to be yourself. And so you got to be yourself every single day, and you can show up to work and be the same guy, pour into them the same way. And I was a clown. You know, I knew when to joke around in the meeting rooms and I knew when to turn it on. It's the same thing. Like I hang out with our guys. I talk trash to them. And like I get them laughing. We stay loose. And when it's time to play ball, we play ball. We're locked in. We know what we got going on. And that's what we do.
Talking about playing ball, we just talked about the coach, and we can get into coaching again towards the end of this thing. But you did play a little ball yourself as well. So yeah. I'm going to go all the way back. Now, Juice, look at this on paper. If you look at Patrick's story, right? I feel like it's a movie we've seen before. So an undersized guy, he's out of a small school in Oklahoma. He breaks all kinds of records, but he's completely overlooked in recruiting. And then he finally gets an offer from a college in Texas. I'm not talking about the Wes Welker story. We already covered that one, right? Because Wes Welker kind of had that very similar path. But you did rush for more than 2,300 yards at Tecumseh High School. You added 32 rushing touchdowns his senior year, Juice. I know I love to talk about your stats in Ohio. 32 rushing touchdowns.
That's a lot of ends right there.
He was getting it done. But then you find yourself without any offers until North Texas comes calling. What was that journey like for you to have that kind of success? Did you have the perspective that, well, it is at a small school, and then to finally have a school like North Texas come in and say, hey, we think you can make things happen here?
Yeah, man, it's funny because when I was in high school, man, I went from football to basketball to baseball to powerlifting to track to, like, I was just having fun being a kid and enjoying high school. After my junior year, after the season, my football season of junior year, I started getting – you know, a bunch of letters, things like that, but really nothing really going. Bunch of small schools started calling and asking me to come on trips and things like that. And I took a couple trips, played a senior year. And, you know, there's a lot of teams calling, like Oklahoma State would call, but they've never offered me a scholarship or anything like that. And then North Texas came during basketball season. Coach Leftwich, who walked into my gym, asked me to come on a visit. They offered me a scholarship while on the visit, and fell in love with Denton, man. And then a week before signing day, Oklahoma State offered me a scholarship, and I was like, nah, man, y'all waited too long. So stuck with North Texas and enjoyed every bit of it, man. Don't regret it for a second.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've heard firsthand from Jeff Wilson what a mean green legend you are, man.
Oh, man, come on now. Jeff's a dude, man. He's writing his own story. The guy runs the ball hard. He does a heck of a job. He's fast. Jeff had a lot of talent at North Texas, man. I'm glad he's showing it in the NFL.
Well, you know, you were obviously dominant, you know, at North Texas. You know, 2003, you rushed for nearly 1,700 yards. You lead the country in rushing yards per game, you know, 19 touchdowns. And by the time it's all done, you leave the school as a Mean Green's all-time leading rusher. But when it comes to getting to the next level, you're still kind of fighting that stigma that, you know, being that 5'8", you know, 5'8" tailback, aren't you? I mean, they're still not giving you the flowers you deserve, right?
No, man, and it's kind of the same story that I had in high school. You know, it's, you know, nobody came knocking or beating down the door. I had one Division I offer, and kind of the same thing happened in the league, man. I did, like, the draft came and gone, and nothing happened, and literally Canada called, offered me a contract. On like a Friday, I got the letter in the mail and was going to send it back on Monday. And then the Patriots called me Sunday night and asked me to come for just a tryout, just a weekend tryout, like a rookie tryout. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And my agent's like, yeah, just go up there and the Canada thing will be here. And I literally was supposed to go on Friday, come back Sunday and get up there, have fun, man, just running around, having a good time. And I remember Sunday I'm sitting in the meeting and I have a 2 o'clock flight and there's like a 3 o'clock practice. And I'm like, hey, do I need to go to the airport? And he's like, do you want to go home or you want to stay here? I was like, well, I mean, I want to stay here. And after practice, they came up to me and offered me gave me a contract. And I ended up staying there for the next three or four months with a week's worth of clothes. So it was pretty crazy.
Hey, but, Big Seth, I'm glad to use mail instead. You know what I mean? Instead of react to that team from Canada.
Right.
You
know,
right.
Yeah, it was a FedEx. It was a FedEx package I was supposed to send back. It's crazy.
That is hilarious. He says snail mail. So yeah, you're the guy who's knocking on down here the Dolphins, right? Joey and Charlie. Hey, can I get another T-shirt? Can I get
another set of clothes?
Because he had 1 week's worth of clothes.
Man,
I love that. And what a wild ride, right? Because you're there, as you said, for a few months. Then they trade you. You lead the team, I think, in the preseason. You lead them in rushing.
Yeah.
And then they trade you to Pittsburgh, which is interesting in and of itself. A rookie free agent gets traded. You don't see that very often.
Free agent. Like, I was like, it was nuts. It was a weird time. And Bill was awesome. Like, you kind of know when you're in the league, you got to take somebody's job. It's eventually, like, that's what you got to do. You got to take somebody's job. And I knew they had a bunch of veteran guys there. I mean, Corey Dillon in the room, Kevin Falk, who's still one of my all-time best friends. Like, he's one of those dudes you not talk for like 8 months, and then you'll talk to him, and it's like, y'all ain't missed a step. You know what I mean? So
that's cool.
Kevin Falk was a big-time mentor to me. But I knew that room was packed. You know what I mean? And so Bill called me into his office. Like, I'm sitting around. I'm just, everybody's, you know, getting their playbooks taken, walking away. I'm just sitting here like, well, when they going to come get me? And eventually they came and was like, hey, coach wants to talk to you. And I'm like, well, I need my playbook. They're like, no, you can leave it here. And I'm like, oh, all right, this is kind of weird. So I go up there and Bill's like, man, you did a fantastic job, this and that. loved everything you do. You're the whatever. And then he's like, we're going to trade you to Pittsburgh. And I'm like, all right, when am I leaving? He's like, this evening. I was like, all right, well, see you later. I appreciate it. And so went to Pittsburgh for a week. Actually, the Dolphins played the Steelers first game of the season. And then after the game, Pittsburgh tried to put me on the practice squad, and Patriots called back, was mad at me that I wouldn't go to their practice squad, but I seen Miami and thought that maybe, you know, Nick Saban was recruiting in. So I was like, all right, well, here I go. I'm going to Miami, and the rest is kind of history from then.
You know what's crazy to me, Big Seth, real quick, though? What's crazy to me is that you go from not being drafted and you're a free agent, but then you got trade value.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
The Belichick way, man. He finds a way, I guess. I don't know. He finds some value out of everybody. No, I was very appreciative to those guys, man, and just the culture and the way they taught me how to be a pro, to be honest with you. The Patriots taught me how to be a pro. I had Vrabel, was a big-time guy, like, on special teams, helping me out. And I mean, obviously, Kevin Faulk in the running back room. It was a phenomenal group of men. There was no egos. Everybody was trying to help everybody be the best that they could be, and I appreciated that.
So what I'm curious about is this idea of, like, Pittsburgh has you, you're inactive for that Dolphins game. They wave you and want to put you on the practice squad, and you decline. And so then you were saying that New England was mad at you. The idea that here you are, you were undrafted. I guess you obviously recognize that you had some value because of the way things were moving, but you're turning down practice squad opportunities. I don't know how often we see that, or maybe that's something that goes on that we're just not exposed to.
Yeah, when I got cut, I had about six teams call me and try to get me on their practice squad. And the Patriots obviously was one, and the Dolphins were the other. And the Dolphins called me, and the Dolphins was actually said that they were trying to get me in a trade. I don't know if this was Saban just recruiting or whatever, but they said that, but they wouldn't go. I mean, obviously Belichick wouldn't go in the division or anything like that. So he did a good job of selling me, and literally told me, you'd come down here, learn the playbook, and you'd have a chance to get on the active roster. And I believed him. So I came down to Miami, and after about 10 or so weeks on the practice squad, he activated me for the last five games. So he stuck to his word. He did what he said he was going to do. And it kind of helped that Ronnie got hurt. I ended up getting put on the active roster, and I was fired up for it.
So 06 basically was like a redshirt year for you, right?
That's exactly what I was just ripping and running, man. Just playing as hard as I could in practice, just running around, letting Channing Crowder get pissed off that I'm running and stuff in practice. You know, everybody knows Channing. And
on this show, they sure do.
I had Zach saying, "Don't slow down, don't do nothing." It was what it was, and Zach was actually my locker buddy. I was actually right in the middle. You know, Zach and Jason got two lockers, and I had the locker right in the middle. And there's shit's piling up, and I'm just trying to stay out of the way. You know what I mean?
They were probably fighting over your lockers. Those two guys love to compete. They wanted that third locker.
Yeah, at least a part of it. Let me get the shoebox.
In my locker, too. Whatever. I didn't say anything. I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bro, we had the same problem with Dan Marino. I promise you that, Patrick. You know, he had two lockers where we were crammed into all our, you know, little spaces. Some people doubled up in lockers, but that dude had two when everybody else was trying to.
I don't know what day it was. I like Mondays, Jason would get all this Jordan stuff. So it'd be like boxes of Jordan everywhere. And I wish I was his size, because I'd have been taking that stuff.
Damn right.
That's 15 or 16 shoe, and everything was like 3X. So I was like, man, I can't fit none of that.
Yes. He told me the same thing. I was like, man, can you hook your boy up? Can I get a pair of Jordans? And he's like, well, if you wore a 14, I'd take care of
him. Right. I can't wear them both.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot.
So we talk about 06 being, you know, pretty much rich. 07 is absolute dumpster fire for, you know, for the entire team.
It's a long season, man.
Yeah. But then, you know what? 2008 rolls around, and you're in the running back room again. We got Ronnie and Ricky. Talk about that experience, man, being in the running back room with those guys. You talk about the guys in New England, those great guys in New England. Talk about these guys that you ran into while you were in Miami there.
Man, I just, like, just to take it back to when I got to Miami, I mean, Ronnie was phenomenal. I mean, he's still one of my best friends. Like, I talk to Ronnie all the time, just seen him at the coaches' convention. Ronnie's phenomenal and more like friend. Like, we hung out all the time. We were a close-knit group. And then in 07 when Ricky came back, it was crazy, man. Like, obviously we were terrible. Like, we're a terrible football team. Ricky comes back and, like, I describe Ricky as that, like, you know that dog that's been locked up in the backyard for like 30 years? And like, the fence is finally open and it takes off and you cannot catch it. It's just all over the place. When Ricky hit the practice field, that's how I describe him. Like, he'd get the ball and run all the way to the goal line, come back, do it again. I'm like, this guy's like, he's never played football before or something. He's so excited to be here. And then he goes in the first game and then tears his pec. I'm like, bro, did all that work? And now those two dudes, phenomenal, phenomenal human beings, man. I had a blast. And then Sammy Morris was there, man. And he was phenomenal, bro. Yeah, like,
forgot about
Sammy. I tell you, like, those guys were awesome when I was there as a rookie in 06. But then in 08, like, it was the most fun I'd ever had because – obviously, the Wildcats started, was getting to do all this great stuff, getting to play a lot, us three on the field at the same time. I mean, the Wildcat was fun. The offense was fun. The coaching staff was awesome. 08 was just a blast, man. That was my all-time favorite time playing football.
You know what, Pat, I was going to ask you about, you just said this about, I forgot about Sammy as well. When you think about the personalities you just talked about, everybody seems to be pretty quiet. Ronnie, Ricky, Sammy. Were you the one that actually brought some life to that room? Because everybody seemed like they're pretty quiet in there, man.
I was in 06, I ain't say nothing. I ain't say nothing. I was just in the room, like just soaking it all in. Like 07, I started learning a little more. And then 08, yeah, it was just fun, man. Like, but everybody's, I mean, Ronnie wasn't as quiet as you think he is. Like, Ronnie's going to talk now. Ronnie's going to talk. We had some characters. Ricky was going to try to slide a joke in every once in a while. But we had fun in our room, man. It was a good time. When we got in our, like, we was probably all quiet outside of the room. But when we got in that running back room, nobody was safe.
I believe that. Well, you just mentioned Wildcat. And we can't talk 2008 without talking about the Wildcat. Ricky and Ronnie, everybody knows what they did. Certainly Ronnie, right? He's associated. He'll be synonymous with the Wildcat forever, that first game against the Patriots. But we've heard from them. We've heard their perspective. Each of them has shared with us kind of what their experience was like from the moment that David Lee walked into the room and said, hey, who can take a snap from center? Who can do all these things? You're the third back there. And I don't say that with any, you know, you hear third team. So Ricky Williams, Ronnie Brown, and then Patrick Cobbs. Like, that's a pretty cool position to be in, especially with that style of an offense. It's going to require all of the backs to get involved. And each of those guys, and Lusaka as well, when they were here, they were like, don't forget about Patrick Cobbs and his role in the Wildcat. Can you kind of walk us through, especially now being a coach, do you remember sitting in that room and here comes a coach and like, hey, we got to figure something out and let's do it. Let's put it up on the board and let's create this thing. Can you kind of walk us through what your memory was like of that experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when David Lee came in, said a couple of things, we had repped it maybe a couple of times in camp, but I remember being on the flight on the way back from Arizona. We just lost. We were 0-2 and Sperano came walking down the aisle and he's like, hey, we're going to do this Wildcat thing next week. And we're just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, we ain't about to do it. And then sure enough, in that week in practice, we practiced it. And then, but we needed something. We needed a spark. Like you said, we went 1-15 the year before or whatever it was. And then, you know, we started out 0-2. So something had to happen. And so he came down the aisle and said, we're all three sitting in the rows kind of together. And he's like, we're going to do this Wildcat thing. We got to get y'all on the field at the same time. And we're like, all right. So, like I said, we practiced that week. And sure enough, he caught it in New England. And I've never seen Bill so caught off guard and the defense so caught off guard. Because the crazy part is I knew all those guys, man. I knew Rodney. Rodney's still a good friend of mine. But I'm sitting here blocking Rodney. And he's so mad. I'm laughing. He's pissed. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, Vrabel's pissed. So like, it is hilarious. Like, we are just running the ball up and down the field. And Ronnie, obviously, is a phenomenal athlete and did a heck of a job doing it. And obviously, Ricky on the speed sweep. I was just out blocking originally and having a good time doing it.
Yeah, man. That I'm going to tell you what, we lost our mind when you guys unleashed that thing, man. That was,
oh my God.
That was, I couldn't believe how well. And you say that, you know, it was unleashed early enough where you think that Bill Belichick would make an adjustment, but he couldn't even make an adjustment to this. It was,
yeah, man. You know what? Me being a coach now, 11 on 11 football is hard. When the quarterback is the running back and he can throw, I mean, that's why defending Lamar Jackson is hard. Like 11 on 11 football is hard because you really don't have an extra defender. Like somebody's got to look out for all 11 people. So it's tough when all 11 guys can run the ball. And so you got to have a plan. And then, you know, Ronnie threw a touchdown pass in that game to Fasano too. So it wasn't like they could just load the box. It was, you know, you catch somebody off guard like that. Like I said, 11 on 11 football is hard. You got to figure out some way to stop it.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff, man. Well, obviously, Wildcat was unleashed against your first team, which is the Patriots.
I was happy to beat them. Happy to beat them.
Told y'all.
I was Dolphins through and through, man.
I know that's so right. Cool. But, you know, Pat, your big moment really came a few weeks later at Reliance Stadium in Houston. You know, you had no carries today. You had three receptions, but you rack up 138 yards with Steven. You know, on those three grabs and score two touchdowns, two crazy touchdowns. What happened that day? What was going on that day?
Man, it was nuts. Like the first one from the Wildcat, we did the Wildcat pass called the cross country and caught a touchdown pass for a long one. And then the next one was just a screen pass, man. We started out and I remember coming to the huddle and it was me and Ronnie in the backfield. I came in motion and then Ronnie was like, we're going to fake a screen to Ronnie. And then throw it back to me. And I just remember Ronnie saying, just, man, go score this thing. And I'm thinking, 80, okay, whatever. And sure enough.
I was ready to get off the
It went 80 yards to the house. I was like, well, all right. I wasn't expecting it, but the thing worked out perfect. It was awesome.
Now, did you say that first? So that play, the reverse, I guess Ronnie was in the shotgun, and then he runs out and gives it to
the Wildcat.
It's called the cross country?
The Wildcat, yeah. So the Wildcat one's called cross country, and he actually takes the snap, hands it to Ricky. Ricky tossed it to Chad That's Pennington, it. And Pennington threw it to me across the field. So yeah, the play call was cross country.
I love that
Wildcat cross country, and so we ran it and threw a touchdown, and then later on in the game we just threw just a regular screen, two back screen, and it went 80. And so yeah, man, two plays, 57 and 80 yards. Rack up some yards real fast.
That'll get it done. Right, where are you lined up in the cross country? Because I watched it on YouTube, Drew's preparing for this, and that camera person was lost. I didn't have the all 22 look. So that, like, you didn't even see Cobbs until nobody saw Cobbs.
Right, right.
Where were you lined up pre-snap?
I was in the slot. So I was okay. To the right in the slot. Chad was, Pennington was out wide, and okay. Ricky was coming in motion. And so I fake stock block and then took off.
Then you had to run cross country.
I had to run cross country, man. I was so wide open. It's like, you know, just waiting on the ball to come down like a punt. I'm like, come on, bro.
Jeez, you said those are the hardest to catch. Well, you're
those
wide
are the
open.
Absolute hardest to sit there and wait for that thing to get there, man.
Yeah, I was trying to catch it and get to the zone for sure.
Well, you did. You did. Yes, you had all the time in the world to do it, too. It was so cool. So everything I've ever read or heard about you was that you were the ultimate team player, even as, you know, you were a star at North Texas, but I went back and watched a video and they talked about how you were on the punt team, not as a returner, but you were blocking for the punt returner. So everything you did, you were a team guy, but it was Greg Camarillo who came on this show and he shared a story with us that said, this is truly a foxhole guy. If there's anybody you want in your corner, it's Pat Cobbs. And what's really crazy is the moment he talked about was actually at an O.J. McDuffie charity event, the Grand Ghoul, one of my favorite moments of all time. So what was that? Was Camarillo dressed as Pee-wee Herman that year? Was that
he was.
Yes.
He was, man. Yes. O.J. had some killer parties, bruh. Now, yeah, it was a Halloween party. It was a good time, man. Yeah, I had to pull my guy away, man. About to make a mistake, man.
Yeah, he shared it with us on the show, so don't worry about it. But yes, he did say that he might have made a decision that he would have regretted, but he said, that's when I knew Patrick Cobbs had my back.
That's right.
What were you dressed as that night? What was your costume?
Oh, man, I don't even remember, man. I don't know, man. I have no idea. I was not Pee Wee Herman, I can tell you that.
You were not Pee Wee. He killed it, too. He was like, he said that he would hear that all the time. Maybe you look like Pee Wee Herman. So he leaned into it, and he absolutely killed that costume. It's spectacular.
Oh, no question.
But he said, you know, that wasn't there were a lot of escapades between the two of you guys that you guys definitely got out and kicked it a lot. And he said there was one time at some little dive bar here off of 595 Juice that you guys also had to save. There was some poor sap at the bar that was drowning himself in his sorrows, and you guys kind of cheered him up and lifted him up. And so it seems like, you know, you were out having a good time, but you were also out there looking out for people.
Oh yeah, man. It's not too hard to look out for somebody and do something for somebody, man. It doesn't take much, man. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle, man. So it's a good time. Like I like being around people. I enjoy people's time, and I don't know, man. It's just, I don't see no wrong in trying to do right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just, I like that, Big Love Seth. It. I think you got a title there, Big Seth.
I was just gonna say, Greg's a good dude, man. He's good people too. I definitely want that guy in my foxhole for sure.
I love that. In fact, you know, we mentioned at the top of the show, you know, since 2019, you've been the running backs coach at North Texas. So we heard this amazing statement you made recently. We talked about going through the interview process back in 2019. You said, I love this university more than I want this job. You know, talk about how meaningful it is for you to be coaching these young men who are going through exactly what you went through back a few years ago.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, when you're doing something for your alma mater or something, it just means a little more. You know what I mean? Like this North Texas did so much for me growing up. Like I became a man, found my wife here. Like North Texas is a big part of my life. And so having the opportunity to come back and coach, and I told Coach Luttrell, I'm like, listen, I love this university more than I want this job. Like, if you don't think that I'm the right person for the job, don't hire me. I want whoever you hire in this position to be the best person for the job, because I want them to do a phenomenal job. Now, did I think that I wasn't capable of doing it? Absolutely not. Or I wouldn't have been there for the interview, but I didn't know who else he was interviewing. So if he had somebody else better, then hey, let's go get him. I'm no hard feelings. Like, I want the best for everything. So, and that's just my competitive nature, man. Like, I want to compete too. Like, so when I do show up, I want to be the best coach on the staff. Like, I want to be the best. Just kind of goes back to my playing days, man. I was just scratching and clawing and trying to do everything that I could to be a guy that was a good coach or good player. And now I'm doing the same thing as a coach. Like, I'm trying to learn ball, like constantly talking to people, trying to pick up tips from other people and ways to reach kids. Like, you can learn it from everywhere.
You know, real quick. You're a running backs coach now. Where do you want to go in this coaching tree? How far do you want to go in coaching? What are you striving to be as a coach in football?
Man, obviously I want to grow as a I would love to be a head coach one day. I really would. Obviously, I'd like to do it at the highest level. Like, going to the NFL would be my next step. I would love to get to the NFL and coach. I've done a couple coaching things in the NFL, and I know that I could do that job, and it would be phenomenal to do it. Had an interview or two in the NFL, did not take or did not get the job. So now I think I'm ready, man. Like, after being around football in the NFL and listening to those coaches and you know, being at camps for a week, I think I'm ready for the next step. But right now, my feet are where they are, and I'm coaching ball at North Texas. And when that opportunity comes, it'll come. And if it's the right situation, I'll take it. If not, then I'll be right here at North Texas as long as they'll have me, man, as long as I keep producing and they don't get tired of me.
How do you get tired of the coach of the year in the conference, right? Like, you can't get tired of that guy.
Yeah, every year is a new year, man. You know,
this is true.
No carryover. Got to continue to grind.
This is very true.
Every day's interview. You know how it is.
Right. Absolutely right. So, all right. Well, we talked about your role in this offense, particularly in the Wildcat offense. Every episode of the Fish Tank ends with our 2-minute drill. We know that you've been involved in a two, you know, anybody who can catch two passes, Juice,
right,
and go 80
right
for one and 53 for the other.
For
you
sure
need that
not
guy on
question
the field during a 2-minute drill. So, yeah, who better to have in our backfield during the Fish Tank 2-minute drill? So we're going to put kind of an imaginary 2 minutes up in the clock, and we're going to ask you some quick hitting fun questions. You just answer them as you see fit. You're a coach, so if you think you need a timeout or something, you go ahead. You've got a timeout if you need it. And we'll see if we can get through this thing and score, put some points on
it. Are you ready to go?
Perfect.
All right. Start the
ready,
clock.
Let's
here we
do
go
it.
All right. We mentioned today is your birthday. You shared this birthday with some pretty famous people: Jackie Robinson, Nolan Ryan, the Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson, even Justin Timberlake. What is your favorite Justin Timberlake song?
Oh man, I'm sure I know some. I'm not gonna say. You just hit me with a straight blank.
Well, mine
bro.
Is mine is rock your body. You know, that's my. I'm a
rock your body.
You know, that's me though. But that's just me though. That's just that justified album.
Love JT. Don't die. Hey JT. I love JT, but blank.
You got
him. Blank.
You got to think back to you and Camarillo up in the club one day. All right, we'll keep it moving. Okay, you not only played football at Tecumseh High, but you ran track, and as you mentioned, you were even into powerlifting. What was your best event in powerlifting?
Squat and deadlift were my two best. Bench was just the show. It was a show thing, but you know, you squat and deadlift for the dough, you know what I mean? So,
well, I love it.
Squat and deadlift were my, those were my two ones, man. Those were the money makers for sure.
What was your, what was Patrick Cobb squatting in high school?
In high school, I think my best squat at a meet was like 550.
Yeah.
And I deadlifted 600.
Damn. Ooh. Powerful.
Yeah.
That's some serious, that's,
I was actually, like a two-time state champ or something, like a two-time national champ in powerlifting.
I believe it with those numbers.
Yeah. Right,
so we talked a little bit about Patrick or Pat early in the, you know, in this recording, but that's really your middle name is Patrick and Stanley is your first name. Why don't you go? Let me tell you.
Yep.
My first name is Otis, and I go by OJ. So, and I understand why. Yeah. I don't like, you know me. Why do you, why do you go? You know, why don't you go by Stanley? Which and who's the coolest Stanley you know?
Oh man, well, my dad's name is Stanley, and so they just started calling me Patrick. But I'm not a junior, so we have different middle names. His first name's Stanley. My first name's Stanley. We have different middle names. His middle name's Ed. He hated Ed, so he did not name me Ed. And Patrick came, and so everybody just calls me Patrick, and I've just grown up being called Patrick. And Stanley, I don't know, the coolest one, maybe the power tool or something, I don't know.
There you go. He'll get it done. I thought he was going to say pops, but it's hard to beat the power tool. That's a good one. I like it. All right, last question here. We're lining up in the Wildcat for this final play of the two-minute drill. Chad's lined up wide. Ronnie's under shotgun there, right? Ricky's coming in motion. You're in the slot. Who's going to score to bring this thing home?
Oh, man. Where are we at on the field?
You tell me. What's the down? I look,
he's going to play coach mode.
Where are we, Juice? 50? Okay.
I mean, selfishly, we can. He comes in motion. You can give me the reverse. I might take it to the house.
That's what I'm talking about, Big Sam.
Or you can hand it to Ricky. I'll block it up, and or Ronnie, and we'll block it up, and we'll get it done. I mean, but hey, I ain't mad if you give me the ball. I'll try to do it myself.
I think I'm calling cross country for this.
There
I'm calling cross country all day. That's what I was trying to get at, Big Sam.
That bad boy's wide open.
There it is. Well, that's the two-minute drill. Cross country brings it home. He is Patrick Cobbs. Now, Coach Patrick Cobbs, I appreciate you doing this. I didn't know when we were going through the schedule. Last week, we were kind of going back and forth, Juice, and I said, what about Wednesday? He said, yeah, we could do that. That was before I realized it was your birthday, and you still answered the call. So big ups to you for doing that, man.
Nah, I appreciate you guys having me on, man. Even sweeter birthday now, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. We're glad we can be a part of it, man. Thanks for diving in, Patrick.
Absolutely.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Just like Drew said, thanks for diving into the fish tank presented by iHeartRadio. Be sure to follow us on whatever streaming platform you're using, and don't be afraid to rate the show or leave us a comment. We love your feedback. And remember, you can find us as well as Drive Time with Travis Wingfield and all of our international partners on MiamiDolphins.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.